Paranormal Investigator Radio.
Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. But we're having perpetual sound problems here for some reason, but I think we're going to get everything in the right hole where it needs to go. Right, Pete?
As they say in the Navy, there is no wrong hole.
Jeez. Ain't that a fact? I mean, what?
Okay, well, I'm Dr. David Brasbro.
I'm Rich Nicodem, like Perillo.
I'm Peter. I'm going to degrade this radio show, Leonard.
I'm Larry O'Grady.
I'm Steve Roscoe.
And we are here to bring you all around the topic base of the paranormal, latest news, techniques, all the good stuff. If you've been listening to us, you know the routine.
So if you want to call us, the number is 1-888-429-5471. You can call in and talk about anything you'd like to talk about. If it's the Game of Thrones or something like that, we don't care. Again, call us. It's 1-888-429-5471.
You're such a gentleman.
Why, thank you.
Cheerio.
So what's going on tonight, guys?
Oh,
raining here in New York.
It is raining.
It's we have a full house.
We do.
It was a good show last week, guys. I really enjoyed your topic. I forgot all about it because I wanted to continue it. But
we just had a round table.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It was very good.
There was some very interesting topic.
I liked it a lot.
It's been a whirlwind these past 2 weeks. We've been all over the East Coast. We started out in Salem, Massachusetts. Well, SalemCon.
2015.
And let me tell you, they absolutely know that you are from Central New York from the second you open your mouth.
Yes, they do.
Did you talk like that the whole time?
No.
Oh, okay.
I walked into this restaurant, and the guy's like, "How you doing?" And I'm like, "Good, how are you?" He's like, "Yankee fans?" Like, no, we're from upstate. We're the good New Yorkers. No, that's...
And that's real upstate New York. Westchester is not upstate New York.
No.
Yeah.
I did clarify that about cows. We have cows.
Yeah.
So basically, a person came up to the table and they asked me, what do you do as a paranormal investigator? I really want to get into this. What do you do? So this, let me know if I'm off base on how I described this. I'm like, well, we went into a dark building again. We sat there all night again, using equipment again, and we found nothing. Again, that's what a paranormal investigator
is. That sums up the last 4 years.
It's not that bad. Close, but it's not that bad.
Except the time at summer camp with the guy with the hook hand.
I know that it does bring up a good point about what we do as investigators, because finding something is the exception rather than the rule. You could easily get dissuaded by watching these TV shows, thinking every single time you go into a location, you're going to set stuff up, you're going to use the equipment, you're going to have some crazy personal experiences, you're going to capture all sorts of evidence, and then it just miraculously gels into a successful investigation, evidence reveal, what have you.
All within
a very short amount of time. And the reality of the situation is, for a paranormal investigator, just as Pete said, most of these cases, people are mistaking paranormal activity for something that's based in reality, some kind of grounded phenomena that's taking place. And you go into this location, we do our due diligence, you investigate, you spend hour upon hour upon hour in the dark, sometimes in the cold, and then as soon as those 6, 7, 8 hours are up, you do it all over again with the evidence.
When you go through evidence,
For every minute you record, that's another minute that you have to file stuff.
Yes, Dr. David's an artificial intelligence.
That's a minute that you have to listen to, or when the DVR is set up, you have to watch the DVR.
It's almost extra work because you've got to do DVR and audio almost separately.
Right. You got to pay attention.
So it's almost like twice the amount of, yeah. And it's rough doing audio, just
hour after hour. Yeah. After hour.
And you know what the kicker is? You can set up. It's like you've got your audio from your video recorders.
Yes.
You've got your separate audio recorders. And you can have two or three audio recorders in the same room.
Yep.
One of them will pick something up.
Right.
So the more audio recorders you have in the room, that's the more crap you got to go over of just silence.
Well, we used to have, I don't know if you were with us, Larry, but back in the day, we used to have like 16 of these mini audio recorders. And we would just blanket these places that we went into saying, if we're going to catch something, we're going to catch it on one of these things. But then you forget, six hours times 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
You still have 3 million hours unlistened to.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, I guess if you were to put it on, voice activated, maybe it would be better. But I don't know. Voice activated. I would not.
But wouldn't it miss it?
I think so.
Wouldn't it miss it on voice activated?
It might. Yeah, and that's another thing. Would it pick it up or wouldn't it? Is it?
Because it's not a true voice, right?
Well, I'm not saying. Well, you could clap your hands when it's set on that, and
it'll
start recording.
But being, if it was just like a quick whisper, by the time the thing turns on,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
If you just got or whatever.
Yeah.
And then again, you have the two types of audio phenomena that we capture: the ones that we actually hear with our ears when it's happening, and say, "What the heck was that?" And the EVPs that don't show up until after the fact.
That's interesting because Jen and I, when we were at whose house was it? It was. With a lot of cats. What's her name? I forget her name right now, and I can't remember. She's in the group. She was in the group.
We'll call her Bonnie.
Okay. Anyways, when Jen and I were in a room together, we both heard something next to me. What? Stop it. We both heard... You know what?
Everyone, I had garlic bread. I thought you smelled that. I'm sorry.
We ended up hearing something next to me. What we caught on the audio recorder was totally different than what we heard.
Mm-hmm.
What we heard was a low grumble. What we caught on the audio recorder was an actual voice.
Yeah.
And that was really, really cool.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Pete?
Well, the you would know more about the technology, but isn't the recorder always recording, even on the voice activated at like 10 seconds behind or something?
What?
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah,
like it's always recording, so it knows when to go on.
Some of them
sort of
pre-buffer the audio. I don't think the ones that we have pre-buffer audio.
I mean, ours.
Check mine.
Ours are from when John Zaffis first began investigating the paranormal from the 70s.
Yeah, long.
We've got some really old ones.
I heard a midget turning a hand.
Either they're on or they're out. The new ones, though, I don't know if they pre-buffer.
You know what? When it comes to investigating, it really comes to the mindset of the investigator. If you're a skeptic and everything you think is, you're in there to debunk, you're going to debunk everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. You're convinced before you open that door that there's nothing going on.
Kind of like
so your mind is not opening to even anything remotely other than a pipe, a door, an air draft, the earth moving, whatever. And then there's some people that go investigating and they're all basically, everything's spirits. So no matter what happens is a spirit, you know? That was a ghost. Oh, did you hear that? That was a ghost. No, that was my stomach growling. No, that was a spirit that made your stomach growl.
That was a hamburger.
You know, so I think what happens is you need to go in with an open mind and basically just review the facts. You know what I mean? Record, get your findings, you know? And then what's important is like when Pete does the historical aspect of it, comes up with some detail. Then you go in there and start asking for a name of someone that may live there. Talk to the homeowners, get some of their stories. Because obviously, whatever they're feeling is real to them. I mean, when drawers are opening and things are flying around the house, that's real to them. I mean, as long as they don't have any kind of psychological, mental issue, it's very, very real. So who would you say it's not happening? But again, going in there, you have to listen, and basically, you have to be open to discovering that there could be something you just don't understand. Then after you go through all the evidence, or, you know, findings, let's not call it evidence, findings, then you come back and determine if what you had was really anything at all. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, we've done investigations where objects are putting off high amounts of EM. You know, it shouldn't actually happen. But we, first thing we figure, it's environmental. It's got to be a cord there. It's got to be an electrical line. And then we go under the item, go on the side of the item, above the item, below the item, nothing. So what do you do then? Mm-hmm. What's your hypothesis then, you know? So, you know.
And you bring up a very valid point, Rich, in that you can't go into some place with either of the two extreme thought processes.
No, you can't go in there.
You
predetermined.
Right. But the problem is, and this is what we face, people will call us and say they have the ninth layer of hell in their bedroom closet.
Yeah.
Things are moving, they're seeing stuff. So you go in there with the assumption that what they're saying is actually valid. So you're preconditioning yourself that indeed there is something going on in this home. But then again, you can't do that because then you know that when you go into that home, you're expecting something to happen. So you have to tell yourself, there's probably nothing until we prove it. But then again, you're in that mindset where you're debunking everything, and that leads you down that other path. And that's what a lot of novice paranormal investigators wrestle with. And homeowners too, right.
Steve, how many times have you talked to someone setting up a case and
it's always something evil?
That group came in, the group told them that was something evil.
Yeah.
And they're basing this on what?
Exactly.
And then they leave these people. Mm-hmm. It's evil. You've got demons. See you later.
But these people are totally convinced because some dude who has an audio recorder and a piece of equipment and watches some paranormal shows.
And then they call
a demon, and these people are convinced that this person, by some means of maybe a degree you got online off of Google, that he knows what's evil and what's not. That's where I have the problem.
Or the team employs some kind of psychic or medium, and they're the ones that say, I'm picking up on very negative energy. And that's not to knock psychics or mediums or anything like that, but unless you have something documented, it's just a personal experience. We always say that with ourselves. If we hear something, or if we feel something, or if we see something, and we don't have it recorded, it's just a personal experience. So how does that psychic or spiritualist perspective come in if you simply can't document it? It's no better than one of us going into somebody's home and saying, a door was closing, there's a demon in your closet.
Mm-hmm.
I wrestle with
but
that.
But then it makes it tougher for us because then we get the second call to go in.
Right.
And it's like, how do you come back after?
Yeah.
No, so, and most people who will take the psychic's word and go, well, they said, you know, Satan lives in the closet.
Yes.
No, he doesn't. Right, well, the psychic said he did.
Yeah, but a good psychic, would never do that.
Well,
I did a couple investigations with Bobby, the medium that's in our group, and her approach is completely different. She's not there to convince people of what's there. She's there to tell them what she feels and senses. In one investigation that was on with her, she was talking about a specific item that was in a drawer, and she went up the stairs leading and found this item in her drawer. I mean, so I really think that people have some kind of ability, another sense. But then again, it's very difficult. You take everything with a grain of salt unless they can prove what they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, like, when we had Bobby with us, she was kind of like the lead going in and kind of telling us what's going on in the environment, what she felt. Then we kind of used that to do our investigation off of.
Mm-hmm.
She's picking up on someone that died of this. She's picking up on this name, that name, so that we start to ask questions on that to bring in some legitimacy to what she found. And to be quite honest with you, several times, some of the things that she mentioned actually were some of the things that we actually picked up on. They were like almost like buzzwords. Like we said a certain name, something would happen. You know, so there. I think there is some legitimacy to it. Just happens to be who it is and just how honest they're being. You know, some of them are very over the top-ish. You know,
we've actually followed another group one time into a residence where they told these people that they had some bad things upstairs in the closet. True story. And it affected the homeowner so bad that they didn't go upstairs. They didn't use their upstairs whatsoever. They just moved everything downstairs. And it affected this couple so bad that they didn't want to have children and put children into that home in that kind of situation. So when you're a group, you have to be really careful of what you're saying and what you're doing.
Well, because there's a perception in the name of what we do, ghost hunter,
yes,
or paranormal investigator. You take your choice. What sounds more legit?
Mm-hmm.
We actually are paranormal investigators.
Yes.
We investigate the paranormal to try to find some answers. What does a ghost hunter do? hunts a ghost. What does that mean? So basically, what you're saying when there's a ghost hunter, that there's a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So he's there to hunt the ghost.
Yeah, he's there.
Yes. And to do what? To hunt it and kill it, eliminate it.
And if you find, like you just said, if you find it, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do?
What if it's not a ghost?
Yep.
We don't exactly know what a ghost is, other than folklore. You know, I mean, what is a ghost?
So David put the turd in the punch bowl for us. So if you'd like to talk with us, it's 1-888-429-5471. I'm sorry. I was going to say, David brings up the ever-present argument, 1-888-429-5471. The argument that skeptics always like to hit the paranormal people with. You practice a pseudoscience at best because you cannot prove to me anything that you're doing,
mm-hmm.
be it psychic or paranormal investigating. Or I say we should start the movement that we start proving what we're doing with statistics and probability, because I think that the random hits that we have, specifically the one case with the one lady there, where we gave her the spirit box, she asked the questions, mm-hmm. and she had four or five responses from who she wanted to get a response from. I would think that, you know, you start from one in a million to now one in a billion, a trillion, and to numbers that I don't know what goes past trillion. So then, mathematically, you're proving, well, I can't make this happen. So even if I brought this into a scientific state, or try to bring the location into a controlled experiment, which will never be able to happen. I mean, and so it's sort of like a moot point. I mean, it's a turd they keep throwing at us, like, well, you claim to be scientists, but you're not, but we can't. And you know we can't, because I can't move the house inside of a laboratory. So I say we turn the tables. That's just my two cents. You all hear the male voice that's talking?
We got to interject here for a second. There's something weird going on in our office
what?
Right now.
The hell was that?
Okay,
it's a door or a pipe or...
We have an office, and the office that we have is located in a building that has its own paranormal activity. And every now and then, we have something weird happen. And right now, there's something weird happening. Pete just saw something out of the corner of his eye, and simultaneous to that, I was hearing a breathy moan. And then just now...
I heard the same moan,
by
the way.
Larry and I just heard...
Is it not me breathing heavy because I'm sick?
It's not you breathing heavy because I'm watching you.
Okay.
And I did too. I was watching Mike. I'm watching Mike. And when I was watching him, I heard the... and that's when I looked at you.
Yeah.
What?
Same thing.
Actually,
see,
I thought I
did. I didn't hear anything.
I thought
Jeez.
I knew
It was pretty good.
Thinking, did I just rub my shirt? Well, is that what I heard?
I was
that's why you were doing that? I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it. I just want to say something important.
Yeah, jump in as we're
about this clown that was caught stealing money, this paranormal investigator. He was booking investigations and charging people, and now whether you're having an event done or you're having a private investigation at your own home because you're concerned, please do the research. Call up these groups. Find out who you're dealing with. It's never a bad idea to ask for references. We will give references. We have no problem with
that. Did you hear that out loud?
Yeah, we're standing here. We heard it.
Just standing here. I just heard that over the mic. And it's not. I'm looking at him, watching his breathing.
All right, I'm hearing the breathing now.
Mike has a cold, and he's...
I breathe heavy anyway.
Was that you? But it's not him. I'm watching his breathing.
That was me just now.
Was that you just now?
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like.
It just sounded like that.
I heard a...
Yeah.
That wasn't you.
No, it wasn't me.
I'm standing over there. It's right through my headphones.
This is fantastic. I wish more people would listen to the show, because you never know, especially in this place.
In this place, you never know what's going on.
1-888-429-5471.
Ears are standing.
Well, they have been doing
it. It got me.
On a remodeling.
There's nobody in here. Steve and I just went and looked. Oh, but dude.
Yeah, no, not right now, but... The whole remodeling tends to kick up.
Larry, can you...
Did that microphone just move by itself?
No, Steve.
No, I can't.
What you were talking about is...
Is that an orb?
Wait, let Larry finish this, because this is important.
I was just saying,
too many people are getting had by these clowns that say they're paranormal investigators. They take money and then they leave. First off, if you're having an investigation in your home, never, ever, ever pay anybody to do this. They're conning you. They're stealing your money. Never. If you're having, if you're looking to have an event done and you want to hire a paranormal investigating group to put this event on, please do your research. Now, us, RIP, we have no problem. Ask for references. It doesn't matter if it's going to be an investigation in your home or an event. Ask for references. Us as a group, we have no problem. We're reputable. We have no problem giving references out. So please, please, please be careful who you call. Be careful.
I did two birthday parties last year. As ridiculous as that sounds, two people... No, that was him.
That was him.
Stop breathing, Mike, for the show. Yeah.
I knew having a cold little
They said, let's put him in the closet.
Two people that Stacy knows were having birthday parties in the fall of the year, and they wanted somebody to tell ghost stories. And Stacy's like, well, we can do one better than that if you want. And so, you know, I mentioned it to Pete, and...
That's so cool.
I was at these two birthday parties. There was like 60, 70 people, bonfires. As soon as I got out there, you could hear a whisper. It was ridiculous.
Did you bring tools and things like that? And you explained?
I went through some highlights of some of them.
How old were the kids?
No, these were adults.
It was adults?
There were kids there.
I thought it was kids.
No, there were from like maybe 8 or 9 all the way up to teenagers, but the birthday parties themselves were for the adults.
That's fantastic.
And
early 30s.
The tattoo party me and Jen went to last Halloween, I met some of the people you had entertained.
That's right.
And yeah, you were our one lucky man. That's all I'm going to say. To have been the center of attention at that party, you were one lucky man.
A lot of good looking guys, huh?
1-888-429-7471.
But the point of that, Larry, was that they said, can we give you something? You know, your checkbooks came out. I'm like, no, absolutely not. Just,
you had fun doing it.
It's all about spreading the word of what we do.
It's actually surprising how shocked people are
that we don't charge.
When they're like, well, how much does this cost me?
Yeah, nothing.
You do that for free?
Yeah. Especially in today's society, where everything has a monetary value, and everybody charges, I don't care what it's for, people will charge you for it.
Yep.
That you used to be able to get for free years and years ago. Yep. Nowadays, everything has a monetary value to it, and they're going to charge you for it, and they're going to really give it to you. And when we say, well, how much, when they say how much you charge, and we come back, nothing. It's like, oh, wow.
Especially when you get people that where there's travel involved.
Yes.
And they're like, you don't even charge to have to drive 3 hours out of your way.
There's a gentleman that contacted me from Long Island, and his position is that he goes in and clears a house out.
Mm, I remember this.
He warranties his work for 30 days, but he charges a fee. So
it was a hefty fee, too, wasn't it?
He didn't give me the exact numbers, but I'm sure to drive from Long Island up to see you, it's not going to be cheap.
No.
Probably $500-$600 just in the travel portion, but... that's what he does. And he said, like a service that people pay for, you know, somebody comes and cleans your carpets or move your furniture or fixes your refrigerator, he charges for a fee. And the thing is that if you really think about it, it is a valid point. If he really does do something that's legitimate and does clear a house and all the paranormal stuff goes away, that people would pay for something like that.
But
is he really doing it?
Right.
Yeah. You know, because we've seen.
But that's the problem. Again, you're dealing with something that you can't see, touch, or feel. So how do you know he's actually doing anything?
Yes.
To be quite honest with you. A guy comes in and vacuums your carpets. Well, he vacuumed your carpets. You can smell it and everything else. But a guy comes and clears your house of the paranormal. How do you know? I mean, maybe there's some peace for a while, but how do you know it's not going to come back? How do you know it's the house? How do you know it's not the people?
Yeah.
How do you know it's not an item? So, in the house. But the thing is that I just found it interesting because, I mean, potentially, if it really was something that was legitimate, then he could charge to go away, you know, travel to Michigan and help somebody. If he was truly helping somebody, but the problem is we don't know. And why would we charge anyway? We go in there, we basically just investigate and provide information. How many times have we actually... Have we actually gone in and removed anything?
Never.
I can't remember.
We just verify the claims most of the time.
Exactly.
And the people, and we tell them, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to help you get rid of this? Do you want us to help the guy here now?
You hear that?
Yeah.
And he doesn't even have headphones on, and he just heard that.
So.
Did you hear it too?
It's a whooshing sound.
Right.
There's somebody here who'd like to talk with us. Could you tell us your name? Are you upset that they are remodeling the building?
What the heck was that?
Now that was a woman's voice.
Can you tell us your name, ma'am? Why do you stay here? Do you need...
That's my phone.
Do you need help?
That was exciting.
Yeah, that was...
Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. We just departed into a mini investigation here. There's weird stuff happening here this evening. That's a car.
Yeah.
Can you bang on something or move something in this room? Could you tell us your name, please? Millions of people are listening on the BBS radio network. Please tell us your name. We now return to our regularly scheduled program.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Well, definitely going to wait till this one gets archived on iTunes. Did you gentlemen know that we're available on iTunes?
We are.
All of our previous shows are free to download.
Did you sign
up
for it today?
Really?
Yes, I did.
Holy moly.
iTunes. That's fantastic.
I know some of you non-Apple phone users in this group, but iTunes it is. I don't even remember what we were talking about a few minutes ago.
That was him.
That was
mine. You can tell there's a difference.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, like, very much focused on his breathing.
I don't want to be staring at you, Mike.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Chuckle was me. Yeah.
That's it. Put him in the closet. Put him in the closet.
Huh.
One last chance. Ma'am, are you with us? Could you tell us your name? What was that?
It was a beep on the computer.
Yeah, the computer did something. We all heard it in here.
There's nothing on the computer.
He's like, this is just two pieces of cardboard.
This is an Etch-A-Sketch. What?
So, going off of what Rich was just talking about, when we were in Salem last weekend, we went to a lot of the shops. And the shops in Salem are truly unique. There's a lot of weird stuff. For goodness sake, Pete has a bat encased in acrylic. But above and beyond that, there's a lot of spiritualist shops. And in those shops, they have sage bundles and smudging kits and salt kits and metals.
I never did buy that thing for the wall.
Yeah. Your little statue. Yeah, they have a lot of really interesting stuff in there. And they support the clearing the spiritualist approach. I don't even know what you would call that, but
spiritualism, I think, would.
Mike, stop breathing for a second.
I took my headphones off because I thought I heard something.
He's breathing.
Not when they was
no,
going
on. I took my headphones off because I thought I heard something through them, so I was like, let me take my headphones off.
Okay, breathe.
And I'm sitting here, I heard a raspy breath behind me.
Well, there's somebody here breathing tonight.
Ain't me, Trump.
It's all breathing. I think that's pretty. That's fantastic.
That's cool.
If anybody out there would like to weigh in, it's 1-888-429-5471.
The point that I was trying to make is that any of us could go to one of these shops or go on eBay and purchase equipment or sage bundles or you know, do some kind of little ritual and say, we have cleared your house. But like Rich just said, how would you ever know that anything actually happened? So I find that to be quite unethical to charge for something that, what do you have to do?
That's what you need.
Gypsy witch fortune telling playing cards?
Can I see was the best thing I bought in Salem.
I thought your bat was pretty cool.
I know, I like the bat.
Yeah, the bat's good.
For those of you who can't see it, I'm showing the bat.
It is a small bat, about 2 inches wide, wings folded, encased in resin.
I could have easily swallowed this
one. You could have swallowed that one.
Would have tasted like chicken, I'm sure.
It always does.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just segue a little more into what all you guys are saying, Dave, Rich, and Mike, and Steve, and Larry. So, as a paranormal investigator, what is it that we do? Now, what I mean by that is, when you go to these conventions and you set up, we're no different than the other 100 groups that are in there. Well, we are, but you're no different than the other groups that are there. And they're all showing off, oh, we investigated this famous haunted location. We invested this location, this location. That wasn't real.
Mm-hmm.
You're
picking your nose.
Oh, my nose was so
long.
You were picking your nose.
I wasn't picking it.
Ew, is that what that was?
Mike, ew, dude.
Like,
a bat in the cave?
Well, I'm picking it and trying to put it in his mustache for later.
I'm digging for gum.
Snack for later.
Relaxing my mustache.
Some gum.
That's disgusting. Anyway, go ahead, Pete.
What was that? I don't even know what's happening.
What is it that we do?
What is it that we do? Like, we have a very clearly defined group of people that are here to help families. We go in, we're there to help. My child is seeing this, I can't sleep at night, this, this, and this. We go in with the mindset to help them. All these other groups, many other groups, all they're concerned about is, ooh, I investigated this location and that location, and I almost got in trouble over the weekend at the New Jersey Parunity conference when I said to one group, I don't care.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you don't consider us paranormal investigators? And I said, really, no, I don't. Like, you're just ghost hunting. You just want a thrill. That's all
you're... people going to all the big name places looking for ghosts are ghost hunters. I'm just looking to...
There's, yeah.
Well, there are people that do that. You know, it's like almost like a thrill. Convention.
Yeah.
Now,
yep.
They go around to places, they buy some equipment, they watch the shows, and they go to like Waverly Hills or whatever.
That's what you do when you first start out doing professional paranormal investigating. You go to these public places.
But those kind of people come to our events. So I'm not
those kind of people, exactly. Yeah.
I think it's awesome. But to be really honest with you, many of the ones that I've met don't proclaim themselves a paranormal
investigator. But how would you like it? You know, I've got a question. What if you've got a group? Some other paranormal, I'm not naming any names, but some other paranormal investigating group that's going to say, hey, we're going to this event, give me money, I'll buy tickets, and they bring their whole group to our event and they try to run their investigation at our event, because that's what it seems like this one guy in another group was doing when I was...
Yeah, you know what, and it's kind of weird, because we take money from our ticket holders for our events in advance.
Yeah.
But we always have the event and everyone always gets what we promised. Because we're just ethical people. We're just honest, ethical, hardworking people. We enjoy this, and we enjoy doing events, and we enjoy having people.
And let's make it clear that we don't keep any of that money.
No.
All our money.
Every penny gets donated to the organization we're fundraising.
Yes. Right. Absolutely. And, you know, we raise money so for great functions. But it's like anything. There's always going to be, that 80-20 rule. 80% of the people are good and 20 are going to be bad.
Yeah.
You know, and this group out of Ohio, well, this guy out of Ohio, he's part of a group, you know, essentially was just taking the money and then blaming it on PayPal. And PayPal's like, no, you got your money. Don't blame us. We have nothing to do with it. And it's a shame. It really, really is, because it puts a blemish on everything that all the good people do, you know?
And we've had to do our fair share of damage control over the years, recovering from groups that have done that.
Yeah.
We could get in and do what we do.
But that story got worse if you read it. We tagged it on our Facebook page, Rome Investigators of the Paranormal. If you read there, it also mentioned that this same guy actually raped a few of the people that he went in and investigated for.
Well, I didn't hear anything about that.
So, I mean, this person's a real winner as far as I'm concerned.
He doesn't seem like the greatest person to begin with.
And let me tell you, as a former eBayer, I mean, these people who have these scams set down with PayPal are very, very crafty. I've been burned many times.
Yeah.
You're getting out there in online sales. Pretty much, you need to be a con person in order to prepare yourself for what they're going to pull on you.
Yeah, well,
that's my two cents for you.
That's online. Valid.
There's still a lot of good people. There's still a lot of good paranormal groups out there that are doing a lot of good in the field. You know, and there's many that are inventing equipment. I know, like, I think the guy, Huff Paranormal, there, he's got a new spirit box thing out. It's actually a software that runs on a Windows-based
tablet. Or SRD-1, I believe.
Or a Windows-based computer. Now, I've watched all the stuff on it, and, you know, I mean, just watch the demos and stuff on YouTube. It looks sort of cool, but, you know, how legit is the voices and everything coming out of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's gone under some scrutiny for that, and some people are like, you know, it's a great device, it works really well, and then some people are like, it's not worth it, it's, you know, it's like the old snake oil, you know?
And
so,
people will say that about any device. You get some people that are for it, and some people against it.
Well, in my mindset is that, like, I bought the Oculus. You know, I had two schools of thought from that. People are like, it's the greatest thing, some people it's a scam. But I bought it because as far as I'm concerned, I want to basically prove it to myself that it's worth it or not. Has it done earth-shattering things for me? No. Has it helped me in investigation? A few times. You know, I'm still getting the feel for it. You know, I'm still learning it. But again, I mean, I would never just dismiss something. I would probably buy it and try it out and use it and see what it does for me. You know, and unless basically some of the really top minds in the paranormal that I talk with on a regular basis absolutely say it's a big sham, then I probably will just take their advice and stay away from it. You know, because most of the time they've already bought it and tried it and it didn't work. So,
you know,
I'm sure feelings are on that. I mean,
we have a message from Michelle from White Light Paranormal Research.
And hi, Michelle. How are you?
She's actually confirming that she's heard several low breaths during the broadcast.
Michelle, it's been, what, 1 week since we spent the weekend with you in Salem, right?
She's not on the call. I got a message.
Is she listening? She's listening.
She's listening.
Yeah, so I'm saying hi to Michelle.
I'm sorry. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. How are you? We're listening.
I didn't catch you. I'm sorry. I
was just saying hi. We like Michelle.
I got to start something.
And thank you for listening in, Michelle, and for hearing the weird, spooky stuff that's going on in our office.
She is our one faithful listener. Thank you.
We'll be
giving you a new Stay Spooky glow-in-the-dark bracelet.
I think she already has like six of them. She was the one that was stealing them off our table. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Michelle. I'm kidding.
Pretzel rods are awesome.
No endorsements. If they want a name, they're going to pay for it online. By the way, endorsements are available. Contact us. If you want to scream at us, the phone number is 1-888-429-5471.
So I think the bottom line of what Larry was trying to say before still kind of applies to everything that you're saying, Rich, and to what we were talking about before. To the person out there who is looking to have a group come in or looking to have their home investigated, or even somebody who's looking to buy a new piece of investigative gear, you have to do your research, you have to do your homework, buyer beware, and you have to go into all of these things informed.
I shouldn't give a free promotion, but I'm excited about the Ghost Arc. I've actually never been excited about a piece of equipment, but that kind of excites me a little.
It's an Italian design team, actually being an engineer in Italy.
It's supposed to be coming out in July, I think, right? Ghost Arc.
Yes, I believe it's like 175.
Yeah.
Which looks like it's actually a neat looking piece of hardware.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
As everybody's googling it now.
Yeah, check it out. They're not available yet. Ghostark.com or just Google Ghost Arc.
ARK.
It is a really high-tech, nifty-looking piece of equipment. Because I frequent many of the paranormal shopping sites looking for new gear and equipment. And there's a couple companies out there making some really funky-looking stuff with the big low rods and all that stuff. Just look at that and I don't care what it does. I don't care if it'll tell me there's a ghost there. I'm not
packing
that
up
and walking someone's house and set that thing up.
Yeah.
They're
going
to look at
start doing this.
We're going to have a raid?
Yeah,
this says it captures EVP while radio sweeping. Now, does that mean you can separate the two and the hardware's already here?
It's a real-time EVP.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's it.
There is another device that does real-time EVPs.
But they're ridiculously
expensive. It's like $200-something. And it's only like
that. It's like a stick of gum.
It's just a little audio recorder modified to do real-time EVP.
But what's the difference between real-time EVP and EVP that... what?
You can hear the EVP loud and clear on a separate channel while you're listening to it with your headphones. While you're there in the field.
Yeah.
You can hear it while it's... I got you.
Most of the other ones, you have to record it. You can hear it through the Frank's box, but you can't play it back unless you record it.
But wouldn't you be able to just put your headphones into your audio recorder and just listen that way
with
as well?
The high-end ones that
never mind, because this is going to do radio sweeping too, so that's what it... Okay, never mind.
With the high-end recorders that we have, you can plug your headphones in and you can listen to a live feed as it's recording. Sometimes you can catch something on that as it's happening, but for some reason, through that live feed, you still don't always hear EVPs as they happen.
Okay.
Look at that neon highlight.
That's what's selling me.
I prefer not to wear headphones when I'm investigating.
I might have to get one of these.
My surrounding. I figure if I'm going to pick up something, I'll pick it up. I can always catch it afterwards. But I want to hear if there's something, like if something shifts or moves or falls. I want to know all that that's going on in the environment.
And I usually don't give compliments too much, but they even have a very professional-looking website. And I know Rich over the years has always brought up the soccer mom websites when you're trying to push something. But this is very, very crisp pictures, very
high-end-looking.
Yeah, they did a great job presenting the product. They put their engineering team on there, you know, little profiles on each one. Most of the equipment that I buy that's newer paranormal, I buy from Ghost Outlet, which is Chris Fleming's website. Chris Fleming is a client of mine. I've been a friend of mine for years. And what's nice about him is I can call him up, and he'll tell me all kinds of cool things about the product or if, you know, things to be aware of. And he also puts like bulletins up on his website, the PDFs, where like, you know, if you have a problem with this device, try this. So he actually takes a lot of these things, like the ovulus and stuff, takes them out into the field, and he tries them out, tests them before he actually endorses them and sells them on his site. Mm-hmm. You know, all the other ones just take them and they put them on there, they buy a bunch of them, put them on the website and say, here it is. But Chris actually, you should notice Chris doesn't have everything. He's got just the things that he feels are sellable that we actually use. Mm-hmm. And one interesting thing he told me about cameras is that the new buzz now is full spectrum.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about full spectrum. And Chris is like, full spectrum isn't what it's cracked up to be. Stick to the infrared. Because the full spectrum doesn't really add anything to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, I fell into it. I bought a full spectrum camera. I didn't spend a lot of money on it.
We have a couple.
Yeah, but the thing is that the full spectrum is that it's just not worth it. Stick to the infrared.
Piece of equipment, I always used to have that die, no matter how many times I changed the batteries.
Yeah.
3 minutes into investigation, dead.
Yeah. And the thought process behind that was that so much stuff was caught in the infrared range, IR with night vision stuff. UV is right on the other side of that spectrum, so why not make a full spectrum? But as it turned out, there wasn't really that much that was going on in that spectrum.
UV,
so.
UV is kind of...
You guys hear...
Yeah, it was him.
You? Was that me?
Yeah, that was
you.
That was you.
Put him in the closet. Put him in the closet.
We're going to have to do a show, Mike, without you, just to see what strange noise you're making when you're not here.
I'll be hiding in the rafters.
Can you put a mute button in
that
a bubble like, see, a mute button?
Like the boy in the bubble, right?
All right, Mike's there. We're just going to wrap you in bubble wrap and have a mute button. You can tap on the table when you got something to say in one minute.
That's right.
What to do from the other room.
So Rich and I sat down last week with the wonderful folks of the Landmark Society of Greater Utica.
Cool.
They've asked us to return to the Rutger Mansions, which we've obviously agreed to. We actually set the date September 26th.
September 26th.
It's a Saturday, the last one of the month, and we haven't even had the posters up. We just made a brief mention on Facebook, and we've already sold 2 tickets.
Hey, that's good.
And it's going to be limited to 40, or 80 VIP tickets only. Last year, we had a few different levels, but...
Tomorrow, we have a meeting to talk about the Shops event, which is going to be August 15th. where we're bringing John Zaffis in. So we'll be meeting about that tomorrow down at the shop room too, to kind of figure out some details of the event. And plus, we have a few other ones that we're working on too as well. And
I did get an email from Gloversville for that mansion, so that'll be something we'll release soon too.
You know what? I'm really impressed because everyone really likes our events, how we do our events. I mean, they're structured well. I feel we give people a whole experience. They like us as people. We're kind, we're courteous, we're nice, polite, helpful. I really think we do a great job on the events. I've seen some of the other ones that people have done, and they're just
atrocious. And that's just it. The thing that helps us is that we've all been to events that were very, very, very poorly done. So we could walk away from those with a lot of details of what not to do.
As a group, we're very personable and approachable, which you don't get at, you know what I mean? You either get the people in the front of the room who are, okay, I know everything about this, and they just sit there and let me talk at you, or, you know what I mean? You laugh, you joke, crowd interaction, it's pretty much everything you need to.
Yeah, but a lot of times when we sit down and design these things, at least my approach towards it is I like to think, what would I want? If I was going to spend this money on a ticket, what would I want? I want some kind of special kind of treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
that's what
I instill in my input on these events.
Yeah.
I want these people to feel special.
You
want them to feel
personally invested in what
right.
you're watching.
They want to come in on
the joke.
I want them to have a great time. I mean, and the thing is we go back and forth a lot of times about sometimes the dates. Oh, there's this going on, that going on. But you got to remember, we're not gauging for the entire public.
No.
We have a certain demographic.
Right.
Yeah. There could be a circus in town. There could be a Bon Jovi concert. There could be a beer fest. All happening the same night.
Mm-hmm.
And to be quite honest, our demographic is still going to be at our event.
Yeah.
You know, and those are the people that, you know, that we tailor to. And usually they bring some other people on that are really scared and terrified. But
and that's part of the fun too.
Oh yeah.
It's an experience. People like the experience. And our Rutgers event last year. That was fantastic.
That food spread was actually.
That was a big event. There's a lot of combinations that could have went wrong.
Yeah.
The most impressive one we've ever done, and you know, hats off to Pete, was when we did that one at the Halbert House. We had 125 people. We had to do a ghost hunt, and we were struggling trying to figure out how are we going to do this.
Yeah.
It's a big place. But it's not that big of a place.
Right.
And Pete had schematics, and he had a flow chart, and we're going to do this and that. And I'll be honest with you, I was slightly confused the whole time looking at it. The more I read over it, the more we sat down and talked about it, it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it really worked.
Yeah.
It worked great, to be quite honest with you.
Don't ever make me do that again.
We got all those people through, and we had no problems. Nobody bumping in the groups. You know, the groups, they all participated. When we said time to switch, they all went along. And I mean, that was probably the most sophisticated. After we conquered that one, I figured the rest of them were going to be a piece of cake.
Are we mentioning lamplight yet or not?
Absolutely.
I was just going to say
because I know it's been a code word.
Larry wants to say something.
Go ahead, Larry.
No, I was just going to say maybe we should mention it. That's all.
Yeah, we have a new venture that we're undertaking here in the city of Rome, New York. We're very, very proud of it. It's the first of its kind ever in this city. And we've named it Historic Lamplight Tours, or Lamplight Tours. If you go to the website, www.lamplighttours.com, you'll see a little bit about what we're going to do. Essentially, we are doing walking tours of the historic district of Rome, New York. And we have a couple different tours that we're going to be doing. One is a Friday evening tour, which is a little bit spookier. Not really. We're trying to keep it historic.
We don't want anybody pooping their pants or anything.
That's right.
It's a long walk.
We're doing a Saturday afternoon daytime tour, which is almost solely focused on history, and it's definitely a family-friendly event. And we also have a third one, paranormal walking tours, which will take place in the fall of the year. And that's where we're going to delve into great detail about some of the darker areas of Rome's past, in addition to discussing a lot of the activity that takes place around this general vicinity.
And we're going to have a great starting point, the RIP office.
That's right. We're starting from our home office, And it's about a 2 mile?
Roughly, it's about a mile and a half.
Got parking behind the building, yep. So that shouldn't be a problem.
We heard beverages will be available here. Maybe souvenirs. A limited food menu.
Yeah.
Souvenirs. RIP souvenirs and books and stuff like that.
They're approximately 90-minute walking tours.
If you're lucky, maybe you'll see the headless man that comes out of the manhole cover that drinks gas in. That got him speechless. That's one of the urban legends of Rome, New York. Yeah, I've never seen that one.
I've never heard of it. If you are interested.
Then you should go on the tour, Steve. You see, you're going to learn many new and interesting things.
Lamplighttours.com. And you can check out some of the links, which will bring you to a page where you can actually purchase tickets for the events, for the different dates, for the different types of tickets that we have available.
And we actually have lamplights, too.
And we have real lamplights, so it is going to be a true lamplight tour.
I can't believe nobody else owned lamplighttours.com.
People probably don't even know what the hell a lamplight is.
Someone may have owned it at one time and then just kind of...
You know how many domain names I own? Something like 30.
No, but it just seems that, but it just seems like that lamplights are, especially cities with historic, like my mom was in Savannah, and Savannah does.
Yes.
You figured somebody somewhere on the web would have had a lamplight tour.
You know, Savannah has the most ghost tours of any city in the United States. Is Savannah. You would think it would be like New Orleans or Salem.
Or Gettysburg. I own paranormalevents.com, too.
Really? Yes, he has no.
Do you really?
Somebody would have. We're going to put that to you somehow.
Let's give a little platitude to David here. He's being modest. The page that you go on to purchase a ticket has like 35 billion lines of code that he wrote, which subtracts friggy diggies from other overhead cams that subtract this. But the basic thing is you'll have a place in our tour.
The payment system is pretty robust on there.
And hopefully we win your hearts forever. But thank you, Larry. Thank you for bringing that up.
Larry, you jump in. Add in what you...
I'm also...
That was, no, I was just... Because I had it written down. I just thought we should bring it up. That's all.
I'm going to also bring on the tour. Nobody else knows this yet, so this is the first time. BBS Radio. It's because I love you guys.
So still
BBS
nobody
Radio.
Will know.
I have an authentic 1880s...
Marmot.
...lamp lighter stick. Basically, it's a fancy wooden stick with a brass end that has a gigantic wick. It's like 24 inches. And there was actually a job back in the Victorian era. It was called the lamplighter, and he would go down the street and light the gas lamps each night. I have one of those sticks that our grandfather stole from someplace and just continuously, perpetually got handed down in the family, and I will bring that as a weapon and pointing.
That's pretty cool. That's really cool.
That's cool.
I could see me actually having to use that at night in the Rome tour. Back!
Get back in your dumpster.
It won't even be the paranormal you're going to be scared
no,
of.
Yeah. Come on. And Rome no. This tour is...
It's very peaceful and quiet.
Yeah.
To be quite honest with you, there really are not bad areas in Rome. I don't care what anyone tells me. Now, Utica, on the other hand, you want to go do one.
We know about Utica.
Hill, you're on your own.
We know about Utica.
Yeah, so.
But actually, the city's very excited about this. Rome is trying to regain its history and its past. It's past, so we're happy to be a part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
no. It's sad to say, but Utica's got a lot of work to do.
Now, if we could only get restaurants in Rome that weren't pizza related, life would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell us more about these beverages.
The libations that will be served here will be everything from clear to color.
Ooh. So we have water and Sprite and cola and...
Vodka, gin.
Yeah.
Now the bar will be...
Wine, yes. For those that are looking for an after-hour cocktail after the tour.
Oh, fantastic.
Being the generous hosts, we will stay behind and talk a little more if anybody wants to share their insights and inputs.
And again,
if you're going to criticize it, that you can just keep to yourself. But if you enjoy it, please, we'd love to hear it.
We have a question.
Our office is part of the DePaolo's catering facility or banquet facility. So they will have the bar open. There will be stuff here. So
they just hired a professional chef.
Yes.
I believe that was announced on Facebook.
From Wolfgang Puck. Yeah.
That's incredible.
So, things are looking up.
Yeah.
Things are looking up.
Yeah.
And we are part of it.
We are part of it.
Fantastic.
I'm so excited. I almost have diarrhea.
Don't do that.
I think somebody basically said, yeah, you know what? We need this room for banquets. You guys are gone. Yeah.
This is Chef Paul's room. Get out of here.
No, this is the smoking room.
Well, guess what? We'll just find another location.
That's all we would have to do.
So we've got about 2 minutes left. We've got to wrap it up here tonight. Is there any last minute topics anybody wants to mention?
Go ahead. We could say happy 80th to Nessie.
I'm just going to say that.
Oh, yeah.
This is the 80th anniversary of that famous photo of Nessie that kind of looks like a stump sticking up out of the water.
Yeah.
Or that looks like a plesiosaur swimming in a lock.
Correct.
What happy birthday.
Or if you go on Google today, it looks like a submarine with aliens pedaling around.
Does it? I didn't even
see it. That photo's got more controversy than that Patterson Gimlin
footage there. It is.
They've actually been able to replicate that Loch Ness photo with like a small toy.
Yeah, I've been on Google 12 times today. I didn't realize they were making fun of the Guinness rep. The
you got it. One more time. It's okay. Yeah. You're almost there. You're so close.
Champ is up in Lake Champlain.
Yep. How cute is that?
I like that.
That's a big lake. You ever been there? That's
aliens. They got a little hatch.
Absolutely.
I'm
curious now. You know what's going on.
Never been around it or pretty much been to the southern part.
I like it.
It's one of those lakes where no matter how far you look, you don't see the other side.
You don't see the other side.
So then, Rich, you just booked a lecture, right, for us at Jervis Library in July?
Yes. It's a ghost lecture / ghost hunting thing for the Jervis Library for the teenage program. They also want a Bigfoot one. First, they had the Bigfoot one scheduled, then they decided they want to change it up to the paranormal one, which is fine. But we're also going to be setting something up at a few more. We have in the queue. We're going to be going back to Woodgate and a few others. So, you know, they're really coming in. So, you know.
They're all laughing because there's Bigfoot riding Nessie.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And I guess we are
out of time. All right, guys. Thank you all for listening to this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. I'm Dr. David Prospero.
I'm Rich Nickenham.
I'm Mike Perillo.
Thank you to the spirits.
Joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.